Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Mem Zayin. And we start off with a word from La Capitan. Next step is the Kohen Gadol is about to go in and to carry the Ketoret Lifnai V'Lifnim. And then shockingly, it says, Otsiulo et ha-kaf, that's fine. I mean, I think it's fine. It sounds like the kaf is the kaf of the Ketoret. But then it says they brought in the kaf and the machate. The machate, he had already filled up the machate ages ago, remember? He had filled up the machate, got up to the Mizbeach, filled it up with coal, put it down on the ground, and then he was supposed to come back, pick it up together with the Ketoret and bring it in. So what in the world is this supposed to mean? How could they have brought him a kaf and a machate? So in the end, it's going to turn out as follows, that the kaf is an empty kaf that is brought to them from the Lishkas HaKelim. The machate is referring to another machate, not the machate that we were talking about before, but rather the machate that is taken from the Beit Aftinas. It's a machate that is full of ketoret. He does the chafina in that machate, and then he puts it, and we'll see why, he puts it into this kaf, like it says by the Nesiim, kaf achat b'leya ketoret. He uses a kaf as well to actually bring in. So it's really referring to two separate hotzaot. Hotziulo at hakaf min lishkat hakelim, and the machate was actually brought from Beit Aftivnas, and it's referring to the machate of the Ketores. But we'll see, the Gemara is going to get to this. Chofan melochofna, so then he does the act of chafina, in which he brings the palms of his hands together, and he now holds his both handfuls. How do you, is there a word for that in English? Melochofna, for the act of chafina? Like your hands are cupped together. I'm not sure if there's a word for it. Anyway,
a fistful?
No, definitely not. That's the whole point. It's cupped both hands, and it's a full cup. Some say that he actually closes the hands. About Chlokas Achronim, but it's very not Mistabras, we'll say. Okay, but anyway, so he then scoops up his full molechofnav of the Ketores. He then takes the Ketores and puts it into the kaf. So obviously the kaf was empty. And over here, the Hagadol lefi gadlo v'hakatan lefi katno, this is referring to however large his chofnav are. So if he's a Mr. Watermelon Kohen Gadol that we spoke about before, so he may be have a very large container of his hands, and if he's small, he's small. We'll see exactly what this would mean, and whether it might be, according to some, a reference to the kaf itself, that the kaf was made at the size of his molchafnayim. Tosfos very much contends that that's not so, and that what it's talking about is the kaf is actually larger. We don't want stuff to spill, and there's no need to make the kaf the correct size. V'kach hayta midata. Now we have this again, another opaque description. And this was the correct midah. What is that supposed to mean? So the Gemara will discuss that as well. Then he takes the machata. Now that was the machata, not the one in the Mishnah, but the machata that he had set down before on the floor of the Rovad HaRavi'id. He then takes the machata in his right hand, and he takes the kaf of the ketoret in his left hand, which makes no sense. As the Gemara will say, the reason for this is not at all clear. I mean, it should be that the main thing that you carry is in your right hand. And l'chora, avoda b'smol is possible in general. So, I mean, this is because the Gemara Menachah says that the Torah was matir smol on Yom HaKippurim completely. So we'll see why it has to be that way. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that they brought him out of Machata if the Machata he already had taken a long time ago? And Daf Mem Gimel, he took the Machata. It said over there, the first part of the Mishnah, the last part, Natalata Machata, V'ola L'Rosh HaMizbeach, V'chotevi Oret. So how is he bringing, how are they bringing him out of Machata from the Lishkas HaKelim that he already had used? No, that's talking about in that Mishnah Mem Gimel is a reference to a shovel that was used to pick the coals from the Mizbeach. Something completely different. Over here, we're talking about a machata full of ketoret that was brought directly from Beit Aftinas in order for him to be able to do the mice of the chafina. Titania, this is the way the Braita explains the Mishnah so well. Hotziulo kaf reikan milishkata kevim. So the Mishnah is defined much better here in the Braita, which of course is the derech of the Braita, to, as we go along, remember the Torah Shebal Peh hides less and less with succeeding doras. So in the Mishnah, it was much more shorthand than it is in the Braita. So the Braita speaks out. Not they brought out a kaf, which can easily be confused with the kaf haketoret. They brought out an empty kaf. And that empty kaf was brought out from the lishkat hakelim. And they brought a machat hagedusha, a full shovel that was full of ketoret. That they brought from lishkat beit aftinas, where they made the ketoret. All right, continues the Mishnah. Chafan melech ofna v'noten l'toch hakaf hagadol l'figadlo hakatan l'figadno. The kach haita midata. So first of all, where does this kaf come from? I don't understand. It doesn't say anything about a kaf in the Torah. So how in the world did he get a kaf? It says in the Torah very clearly, v'lakach melo chofnav gachalei shmela mizbeach u'melo chofnav kitoret samim daka ve'evimi beit laparoch. Now what is that telling you? He takes melo chofnav Vehevi mi beit laparochet. Where does it say anything about transferring what's in his hands into a kaf? That's not supposed to be done anywhere in the pasuk. So why exactly does there a kaf? Melochofna vehevi omar rachmana. Mishum de lo efshar. Because we understand that the pasuk makes us use our brains for what is doable and what is not doable. And it's simply not doable the way that the pasuk describes it. Because tell me, how would you want it to be done? He's supposed to bring first the machete that's full of the coals, bring it in, set it down on the floor, go back out, do the molechofnav, and then carry it in the molechofnav. I mean, you could do that. Is that what you're suggesting? That na'ayo v'hadar na'ayo? But that's against the pasuk. Because the pasuk makes it very clear that he's supposed to be doing these two things simultaneously. Let's read the pasuk again. V'lakach melo hamachta gachalayesh me'al ha-mizbeach me'lefnei Hashem u'melo chofnav ketoret samim daka ve'hevi. And what is that telling you? He takes two things and he goes in once. There's only one word of ve'hevi on both of the items that are mentioned in the pasuk. The machata of the gecholim and the melochofnav of the ketoret. So I can't go in twice, okay? So what are you suggesting he should do? Should he maybe take the melochofnav and then take the machata and put the machata should be put on top of his hands and then he should carry them in? Okay, so let's assume that that's doable, okay? What does he do when he gets inside? Nobody else can be there, right? So what is he supposed to do? So, kimati atamechi lave. I mean, he could, I guess, he could pick up the machata with his teeth and then put his head down on the ground, set the machata down while he carefully balances his hands so that nothing spills of the ketoret. I mean, you really think that this is appropriate? It's like, you can imagine having a waiter bring this in to like the king. You know, he grabs the serving platter with his teeth, sets it down, and it's outrageous. It's horrifying. So, I mean, you wouldn't do a thing like this for a melech baser adam. So if they melech malcheim lachim hakadosh baruch hu alachat kama v'kama, you honestly believe that we're supposed to do something so outrageously ridiculous in order to bring the keteris on Yom HaKippurim lefnai v'lefnim v'hakadosh baruch hu? Come on, man. Use your brains. So therefore, I mean, basically the pasuk is telling you there is, Barnea, you've got to stop this. That there is no choice. He'll go lo efshar. There is no possible way. V'kivan de lo efshar avdinan kedashkam benesiyim. So if it's not possible. So we do have a model for what do we do to carry Ketoret when we cannot be carrying it in the Melokh Ofna. Because 12 times in the Torah it repeats kaf, achat, of that Zahav Meleah Ketoret, right? Okay, so apparently there's something about a kaf that is very nice for carrying Ketoret. If we find that that's the way that the Nesiim bring the Ketoret, it makes sense that it's a mechubad fashion for the Ketoret, and therefore we use this also for the Kohen Gadol's Asiyah too. Okay, then we go on. He takes the Machata in his right hand, and he takes the kaf of the Ketoret in his left hand, which makes no sense at all. I mean, Yitziva Ba'ara V'giyura B'Shmei Shemaya? Tell me something. You treat your citizens. Now, this, of course, is no longer a kasha, because now that America has caught up, you understand, it's exactly this way. But it used to be that citizens were treated with respect, whereas people that were just coming in and were trying to break through across the border, they were treated certainly with less respect. However, so therefore the Gemara says, how could we do this? We treat the citizen, that we put the citizen on the ground, and the illegal immigrant now gets put up to the top, which is basically what we're doing over here. We're carrying the Ketoret, which is the whole point, in our left hand, and we're taking the machat of coal we're bringing in our right hand. However, as we know, the new administration has decided that this Gemara, we should change the gears, apparently. But anyway, once upon a time, this was a good question. So how do we carry the Ketoret in our left hand? It makes no sense. The main Aveda should be done with your right hand. The main Aveda is the Ketoret. No, but that's because, again, remember that we have to be very careful on Yom Kippur not to get the Kohen all tired out. And the coals is you almost always going to be merubah. And the kaf of the Ketoret is much less because it's only Melech Ofnav. I mean, over here we had three kavin. That's quite a bit of the Gachalei Eish. And the truth is that even where it could be that you have a gigantic Kohen Gadol, like the story about Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, so afilu bizman shneim shavin, Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis was incredibly big, and his hands could hold as much as the machata of the Gecholim, but we did not change it. K'maisi the Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, nonetheless, he still will hold the Ketoret in his left hand. Why? Because it's easier to handle this way, because the one with the coals is hot, and the one with the kaf is cold, and it's much harder for him to handle the hot one in his left hand, where he can't like balance it properly. So what was the story, by the way, that you said Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was like so big? What was that, Maisa? Amru alava Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, that when he would do chafina, he could hold four kavin in his Melokh Ofnav, which was even bigger than the machata of the Gecholim. Well, Omerini used to say, you know, kol anashim zerdu, all the women in the world got their zered, but zered ima ololagag, but my mother's zered is through the roof. Very sweet. So what exactly is the Zered referring to? So Ikidi Amri Ba'arsan. Some say Zered is referring to the cereal that is extremely healthy, very nourishing, and was given to pregnant women. It's very difficult to make because you have to cut each piece of wheat into five parts, whatever. But they used to do this for the benefit of the growth of the embryo and for the health of the mother. So can
steel cut grains are all the rage now. Steel cut.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Excellent point. It's become very, very much the rage. So can Rabba Bar Yonatan, the Yomer Rabba Bar Bonatan, Omer Rabbi Yechia, that arsan is very useful for people who are weak, l'chole. But others say that he was referring actually to the sperm from which his mother, he was conceived. Because this would be like Rabbi Abo. We find that David HaMelech, when he talks about himself and he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he was able to be Mizgaber in war, so it says two different psukim. You notice some of the very minor distinctions between the same Shira of Shmuel, of David that is in Shmuel, and of David, the same exact Shira that he repeats in Tehillim. There are some tiny but very significant differences between them. One of them, of course, is the very famous difference of Migdol Yeshuot Makol versus Magdil Yeshuot Makol. And that's why we make that difference between Shabbos and the fullness of Malchus and during the week. But there's another difference that's fascinating, because in Shmuel, the Lashon of the Shira is Vatazreni Chayil HaMilchama. The simple meaning of Vatazreni is to be belted, to be girded. So you girded me with strength. And then it also, however, in the same Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Vata'azreni chayel ha-milchama. Over there, it uses an olive in the same word. So, which also means, papashna means the same thing. I mean, auzer is a belt, right? So, Vata'azreni, Tazreni sounds like exactly the same word. So, what is the remez that's in the difference? So, Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Zeritani, Zeritani is the lashon of Zorechitim. Zorechitim is to winnow. So that means that basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you winnowed the sperm that was used to conceive me. Now, this is referring Bechlal to the fact that sperm compete, and that's basically the whole idea that David HaMelech was saying, that in the process of conception and the way that reproduction ends up taking place, the competition between sperm is there in order to make sure that the tipa sha'atzadik nolade menu, where the malchus comes from, should be a very winnowed, so to speak, selected sperm, not just accidental sperm. So therefore, David HaMelech is meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First you winnowed me, and then you made me strong through selection, then that's why I was zeicha through your hashgacha to be able to be the melech that's so matzliach in milchama. So speaking about Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, so the idea over there was, I love the idea of through the roof, right? It's so interesting to find the same concept in Lashon HaKodesh. So Omer Lava Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, so it happened that one time on Yom Kippur, others on the Mizrach of Yom Kippur, that he had to speak with a certain Arab in the marketplace. The Tosefta has this story, and over there it says that he had no choice. He was called out by the king. And the king, at his time, was they referred to as an Aravi. Some Arab in the Shuk. Okay, so that obviously has the same din that the Chachomim were geyser on Akum, that they have a din of being Zovim l'chol davar, and he had no choice, and he was talking outside with an Arab, v'nitzatzi nura mipiv al begodav, and a drop of saliva spray touched the big day kuluna of Rabbi Yishmael, v'nichnas yeshevav achiv v'shimesh tachtav. So Yeshevav, his brother, was the Kohen Gadol that Yom Kippur instead of him. V'ra'ata iman, shnei kohanim gedolim b'yom echad. So this, the Pashtus, mediates against the approach of those Achronim who say it's talking about Erev Yom Kippur, because it's saying that she saw her sons on the same day being kohanim gedolim. And if Dichtas, his Echav Lavod, is on the morrow, then it doesn't, she didn't see her two children on the same day. Shuv amru alav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, and there was another story about the same Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis in a different year, that pa'am achat yatsa v'siperim adon echad bashuk, and one time he had to go out, and again, here the Bavli uses the same, close to a Lashon HaMelech, an adon, someone choshev, he had to go out and discuss something with him. V'nitsa tzinora mipiva begadav, and this time his brother Yosef came in to be Meshamish Tachtav, and again Ra'ataiman Shnei Kohanim Gedolim B'Yom Echad. Her Genner's mother was Zerchah to see two Kohanim Gadolim. So this is, so far, she's had three sons that were Kohanim Gadolim, and twice she had two sons Kohanim Gadolim on the same day. So Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Ayula Lekimchis, actually, famous Maisa, that she had seven sons, each and every one of them. Kulam Shimshu Bekuna Gadolim. Each and every one of them, at one point or another, were Kohanim Gadolim. As far as why it was that the first time they put in his brother Yeshevav, and the second time they put in his brother Yosef, some say maybe Yeshevav died, but others say that it would be a chalishas hadas to the Kohen Gadol to have the same brother constantly taking his place. He would get the feeling that he's like, replaceable like this. So in order not to be machlish leiter, they gave another Kohen, another brother, a chance. Okay, I mean, there's certainly many possibilities to explain this. Is all just grasping at straws, but fine. So Shiva Bani Mayula Lakimchis. Omrullah Chachomim said, Chachomim asked her, this is an incredible story. I mean, obviously, there must be something about you that gave you this chus. Ma asit shezachit lakach. Omrullah answered, she said, Miyamai lo ra'u korod beiti kal esari. Never in my entire life did the roof beams of my house see my hair. Amrullah, so they said to her, that's all very nice, but telling us behaviors is not a solution. Lots of people go to the Kosel 40 days in a row. You know, everybody's got things to do, you know. Next, they're going to start believing all they got to do is cover their hair, and now they get seven children. You know, it doesn't work like that. So there's obviously other issues in your level of tzitkis than how you behave. Arbeasukein, lots of people did that. Velo Ilu didn't do a darn thing for them. So it's not about what you did, obviously. It's about how you did it. There's an amazing maysa that the Talmidim this was said over, this maysa, actually, to the Chafetz Chaim from Rav Karelitz, that the Chazon Ish's mother did exactly the same thing, that she was careful never, ever to expose her hair, and that even when she had to be tovelet, and she wanted to make sure that there was no chatzitzas in her hair, so what did she? She had her friends bend over her so that her hair was mechuseh, so it shouldn't be exposed to the koros besam. And she said that's why she was zeicha to having a child like the Chazon Ish, the getter of tznias and hakapada. This beautiful story. Anyway, Tana Rabbana. So getting back, also, there's a lovely Rashi brings over here that in the Yerushalmi, it brings a remez to this kind of hanahaga, because it says in the Pasuk, and the Yerushalmi brings that this was the remez to the Maisa of Kimchis, it says, Kol kvuda bat melech pnima, mimishbitzot zahav levusha. So if kol kvuda shobat melech pnima, so that the woman keeps all of her honor intact and doesn't expose it, mimishbitzot zahav levusha, out of that comes the big dekuna gedela, which is the mishbitzot zahav of the Shmeinu Begadim. It's beautiful, beautiful remez that Rashi brings here. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Shiva banim ayula lakimcha. Okay, this we did. So now getting back, Tana Rabbana. Bikumtso. So we said, when it comes to the din of the Kometz HaMincha, the reason that we're bringing up the Kometz HaMincha is because of the obvious surface resemblances of the Kometz and the Meloch Ufnav. Just as Richie originally thought that maybe it means a handful, which it doesn't mean. But there are only two places where we find that the Kohen uses his actual hands instead of a kli in order to achieve the din of whatever needs to be taken and brought inside to the karma. So one is the Kometz of a mincha, and one is the Meloch Ufnav of the Ketoret. So if we want to darshan the Bekumtso, because ultimately we're going to be learning out one from the other with the Gezeirah Shavah, as we'll see. So when it comes to the Kometz HaMincha, it says over there, Bikumtso, what it is that the Kohen does has to be done in his actual Kometz, meaning not in a kli. Ve'irim mimenu bekumtso misolata mincha. So that means shelo yaseh mida lekometz. Don't measure the kometz and make a kli out of it, and then use the kli to do the kometz. It has to be in his actual hand, in his kometz. Now the question was, can this also be applied automatically to chafina, or not necessarily? Mao shiyaseh mida lechafina, because over there it says melochofnav. It doesn't say anywhere the equivalent statement of ve'rim mimenu bikum tso, where he has to actually use the kometz to take it out. It doesn't say that by the melochofnav. It just says that you should be mevim melochofnav. So I understand that by the kometz, it's absolutely essential that it be done by the kometz. But for the melochofnav, would it be possible to actually make a kli, measure the melochofnav of the Kohen Gadol, make a kli for the melochofnav, and then use the kli to take out the ketores, and that should be the equivalent of the chafina? Because over there, when it says bekumtso, it says the bedavka ve'rim mimenu bekumtso. So over there, I understand you can't use a kli. But over here, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say bichofnav. It just says to bring melochofnav ketoret samim daka. That's not the same question, the same phraseology that it has to be achieved by using his hands. So maybe it's just the amount. It's just telling me how there. So if I make a kli for that precise amount, it ought to be the same. So perhaps over there low, maybe there's no limitation on making a kli. O Dilma, or do we say that since in both cases we use the word melo, and that's melo kumtso, not in the same pasuk of the ve'herim mimenu kumtso, but we do find that the pasuk uses the lashon of melo kumtso, so it could be that over there it says v'komatz bishom melo kumtso misalta. And over here, we have the same lashon of melochofnav. Maybe that's a gzeirah shavah. And in the same way that you wouldn't be allowed to make a kli for the kometz, you can't make a kli for the chafina. Toshma, says the Gemara, oh, now I understand the Mishnah, which I didn't understand before. These crazy words in the Mishnah, v'kachim aita midata. Obviously, if I tell you to take the melochofnav, hagadol lefi gadlo, hakatan lefi katno, so then that's the amount. I mean, what possible meaning is there to adding the words v'kach aita midata? This is driving me crazy. Now I understand that v'kach aita midata means that if you want to make a midah, meaning so now you want to make a kli, the kli would be the exact size of Hagadol lefi gadlo and hakatan lefi katno. Perfect. So my love, she'im ratza la'asot midah osa, you'd be allowed to. Says, well, it's a good try, but not necessarily. Lo, because it could mean something. I mean, it might be. All right, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just saying you can't prove it because there could be another meaning to the kachayta midata. Because maybe what it's saying is, hachikama, v'kachaya chozer v'chofna lefnim. That in the same exact way that you had to do the melochofnav outside from the machata, and then you put it into the kaf, you'd have to do exactly the same thing when you get back inside to restore every last drop of ketoret back into your hands, which is almost impossible to do. And you'd have to, the Gemara describes later on the technique for doing it. And maybe that's what it's saying. That kach hayta midata, whatever was achieved here is precisely what you need to achieve bifnim. Maybe that's all it means. Says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, now you'd be able to bring a raya from the Mishnah to a big question later on. Because later on we're going to see that it's a machlokas whether you must be chozer v'chofen once you go inside, or you don't have to fill it up again in your hands. You could use it directly from the kaf, as long as you already achieved the melochofnav in the beginning, and that's a big machlokas. Now, what you're telling me, if that is the meaning of kach hayta midata, would be telling me that you absolutely must do melochofnav again and get it all back out of the kaf. So how come we didn't bring a raya later on, if that's what the Mishnah means? No. I'm not telling you that's what the Mishnah means. I'm telling you, it might be what the Mishnah means. So if you try to bring me a raya to that, I'll say, no, the Mishnah doesn't mean that. The Mishnah means that you can make a kli for it to do melechofnav. Oh, really? So you can, well, no, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah means that you'd have to go and do the chofnav again inside. So since I cannot absolutely prove what the Mishnah means, you cannot prove either of these contentions. You can't bring a raya from the Mishnah that we can make a kli, and you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah that you have to be chofen because of a chofen. So we're left with it up in the air. Because if you try to prove that, I'll say, well, how do you know? The Oma Imratil Asot Midahosa. Maddening, isn't it? Or, you know what? If you don't like that, it could be, I can tell you another pshat, that actually the Mishnah would mean something that has nothing to do with either of these issues. Maybe what it means is, inami, shelo yechaser v'shelo yotir. Maybe it means, kach hayta midata, that it needs to be precise. In other words, in the same way, even though there's no way for you to do this, because, I mean, if you're bringing it up in Malo Chofnav, how exactly are you going to make it precisely flat on the top of the Malo Chofnav? Or how could you make sure that it's not the least bit less or the least bit more? That's very difficult. So in other words, we'd have to say that you need to do as much as possible, humanly possible, that it would be the equivalent of precisely as if you had taken a piece of cardboard and gone over the top of the Malo Chofnav so that it'd be exactly that sheer. Okay, so we don't know. Tana Rabbana, Malo Kumtso. So back again to the komets. Now by the komets. Okay, you might think that a komets means a handful, meaning, you know, with the stuff pouring out, you picked up a handful. Now you've got the sides of your hand still have flour in it. The bottom of your hand has flour in it. And the, between your fingers on the outside, there's flour. That's called mevorats. It's falling out all over the place. And maybe that's part of the komets, because, I mean, after all, I mean, that's, if you're not careful, that's what happens when you do a komet. Talmud Omar, no, bikumtso. Bikumtso is a double meaning. It's not only with, it's within. Okay, so then if it means bikumtso, maybe when we talk about somebody who's very stingy, we say, oh, he's a kamtsan. Well, he's a kamtsan. Because you could just take your fingertips, you know, take a little bit on your fingertip. So maybe that's what it means. Bikumtso, do it like very, very mitzumtzam. And just beroshe etzbeotav, like right up, using the tips of your fingers, get as little as you can in there, maybe. So that would be beroshe etzbeotav. No. Talmud Lomar, melokumtso. No, it's got to be filled. So what is that? So it means, it's the way that people would normally scoop up things. And how is that done? If you want to be careful to get one scoop, it's basically, if you're going to complete the entire palm, you can't use your pinky, because your pinky doesn't get all the way to the end of your palm. So you take three fingers will actually cover your entire palm. Then you've got your pinky and your thumb. And then you are going to be able to use that to clear out anything that's sticking out of the sides, as we'll see. But that would be the shear of the standard komets. Now, this is all very nice. If Barnea wants me to do kmitza, apparently on the liquid, this is a big shiloh. We spoke about how to do kmitza on shemen, because we were talking about, remember, that the shemen of the mitzvah, somebody is neider shemen, so it's a din of a mincha, and he has to do kmitza on the shemen. So Barnea wants me to illustrate how we do kmitza on a liquid. Unfortunately, he is the kohen, and he is going to have to show us. Wait a minute, you made a mida for the komets? For the komets?
Today's drink is coffee.
Okay. Na'aneti lecha. Oh my gosh. I noticed that Gavi is drinking without boost. This is a disaster. And I want him to know that we have sent for a replenished reply. That's the reason that Benny flew in to London, right, Benny? Was to be able to get that wedding present for Gavi, which he keeps being the fuss face. You there, Benny? Is the boost already purchased?
Boost already purchased.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You went to the Nero exhibition that opened at the British Museum yesterday, of course. You caught it on the first day.
Not quite.
he'll wait till the third day. Shlishi lebeta. Okay, so anyway, what about if it's not made out of flour? And it's not made out of liquid. So what about if it's actually baked? You see, you got a minchas b'chavas or marcheshes or so on. So, I mean, these things, they're big pieces, right? So even if you split them, I mean, actually, it's a machlokas. The truth is, according to Waman D'Omar, you take that and you break it up till it becomes literally crumbs. But if you hold it, you just do it into pieces, one piece into two, two pieces into four, you're going to have little pieces sticking out from your fingers. So what do? If you pull them out, you're going to have a hole inside of the comets. If you let them stick out, you're going to have parts that are not really part of the comets. So what do there? B'machavat, b'marcheshet, over there, what you do is you use your thumb and your pinky. That's what they're good for. And that's why we actually give the names of the comets to your finger, of which is the comets, but you use your etzba ketana to rub up against your finger and to break any pieces that are sticking out from the bottom of your hand, and you use your thumb in order to take any pieces that are sticking out from the top of your hand when your hand is like this. And Zoe Avodaka Shashib Mingadash, this is the most difficult thing is what it seems to be saying to do, is to make sure that you break it precisely in such a way that you haven't taken out anything from inside, but you're not allowing anything out from outside. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? This is the hardest thing? Zoe Vatulo, there's nothing else. The same exact language, I mean, if we're talking about superlatives, the same exact language is used for Malika. It says the same thing. Zoe Avodaka Shashib Mingadash. Or Chafina, which is when you have to redo the chafina, it says also, Zui Avodah Kasher Shabbat Mikdash. I mean, how many Avodah Kasher Shabbat Mikdash could possibly be the most difficult? No, obviously it's not using it in the sense of the most difficult. It's saying these are from the difficult Avodahs, is what it means to say. El Zoe May Avodot Kasher Shabbat Mikdash. Anyway, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Boy Rabbi Yoshua ben Uzzah. What is the din of Bein HaBeinayim, Shomalokum Tso, Mahu? So what about things where you have flour or pieces that were actually caught between your fingers? So they're not exposed to the inside of your comet, but they're not exposed on the outside of your comet. What's the din? Omer of Papa, let me just clarify this. If you're talking about the things that are visible to little munchkins inside your hand, that's the gavoy lo tibaylocha. That for sure, that's part of your comets. As long as it can be seen by all of those little pixies or whatever, that's okay. So that's definitely comets. If it's visible from the outside of your hand, that's definitely not the comets. The varoy lo tibaylocha. That's for sure, that's called shirayim. But what you do need to figure out is, what about if it's caught between the skin of your fingers and it's not visible, not from the inside and not from the outside? The beini beini, what's the din? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua, this is an amazing Gemara, depending on how you understand it. Rabbi Yoshua ben Uzzah, who raised the question, finally made an absolute determination. Hara Pashta, I resolve the issue. It's questionable. Bein HaBeinayim is officially declared to be a suffix. What is that supposed to mean? That's unbelievable. So there, many Rishonim say that he thought that, and this is amazing because it's another one of these contemporary issues, he originally thought that this was a decidable question. And therefore, he posed it as a question. He then was able to determine that it is not decidable, which is one of the biggest questions in math and in computer science today. It is not a decidable question. And therefore, it is officially declared a suffix. And so it's fascinating because they compare it to halacha, to other fakas that we have like this. And that would be suffix ben hashmoshes. So suffix ben hayom, suffix ben halal. It's not a decidable suffix. We define its status to be the status of suffix, right? This is the way we end up asking about Ben HaShemashas. Same thing is true over here. Bein HaBeinayim has the same thing as Ben HaShemashas. Remarkable thing. Anyway, okay, so now that we've decided it's a suffix, what do you do with it? So, hechi avid. I mean, if you're not sure, because what are you going to do? So Rabbi Chanina, well, I mean, what you can do is you bring the comets, which is Vadai comets, first. And then the stuff that was between your fingers, you bring up separately. Because, I mean, if you're going to go ahead and bring up the stuff first that was caught between your fingers. Then, in the event that they really have a din of Shirayim, so then you would destroy the ability to bring the Komets, because then you would have Shirayim that were Chaser Ben Kmit Salak Torah. And remember, we learned, we've had this numerous times, Shirayim Shechaser Ben Kmit Salak Torah, in Maktir Nalayin Asa Komets. You're not allowed to bring the Komets. Wait a second. So now it doesn't work the way you're saying it either. Because if you're going to first bring the Komets, then the halacha is that you're not allowed to bring the Shirayim onto the Mizbeach. Because remember, we have that beautiful pasuk from which we're able to be medayik, that kol shemimeno, listen to this, how we read the pasuk. Ki chol so'or v'chol devash lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. Ask yourself, can't you just say kol so'or v'chol devash lo taktiru l'Hashem? What do you mean, mimenu? Whatever you brought is the sor v'dvash that you're bringing, right? Listen to this drasha. Lo taktiru mimenu. Do not bring anything which was mimenu ishel Hashem. Lo taktiru from mimenu ishel Hashem. So in other words, anything that you had already brought in ishel Hashem, so you brought the kaimets, lo taktiru from that, because that was mimenu ishel Hashem. So then if that's the case, if you already brought the Komets, I tell you, people have no appreciation for poetry. It's beyond belief. Every little significant, and what people think is, there's no every little bit is significant. So therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to bring the Komets. So what kind of eitz is that? Ikre kan, why don't we apply in this exact case, kol shemimenu le'ishim, Hariu about taktiru, so then it becomes an iser lo taktiru mimenu. Om Reb Yehuda b'Reb Shimon ben Pasi. What you'd have to do is, according to Reb Eliezer, we have an equivalent case where you've got Avrei Eila and Avrei Chatas that got mixed up. So what do? You're not allowed to bring Avrei Chatas, which is not roy for the Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach. So Reb Eliezer says you are allowed to bring up other things for fuel. Do they burn? They burn, so bring them up for fuel. And so make a tonight. If this is this particular Aver is Boser Eila, so I'm bringing up L'Shem HaKadosh Eila. If it's not Roy, so then it should be fuel for the Aver Eila. The same thing is true over here. You bring it up and you say, okay, because remember that the Makor of the Isser is that it says right after right by the same Pasuk before of lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem, it says el hamizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. What do you have to say? El hamizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. El hamizbeach lo yalu. Because the point is l'reach nichoach iata ma'ale. But if you want to bring it up as a fuel, that's not l'reach nichoach. That is Reb Eliezer. In which case, the Torah already gives you a way out of this problem. So if you don't know whether this is mimenu yishim or not, so then the thing to do is rely on the pasuk before. L'reach nichoach yatamal. Okay, fine. So I'm bringing it up. L'shem the esh. Atamala l'shum etzim. You can certainly bring it as if it's firewood, can't you? Okay, fine. I understand that's very smart, but only if you hold like Reb Eliezer. What if you don't hold of this drasha? The Rabbanan say you're not allowed to bring up things just to pretend that it's firewood. So what do? Armor of Mori. You know what? If you don't know the Reb Eliezer, all Kohanim must be fat. That's all that good old Omega, you know, Omega-3s there, Barnea. Now we understand why. There we go. The Kohanim have to be so fat that they cannot have space between their fingers. So, I mean, it doesn't mean all Kohanim, but any Kohen that's going to be doing Kmitza has got to be fat enough that there's no light coming through his fingers, because otherwise he's going to end up with a Beni Binaim. Well, now that we're talking about fat Kohanim, so then why would Reb Eliezer allow you to bring it up for firewood if there's a simple Eitzah? Just get those fat Kohanim on the job. So Reb Eliezer Nami, L'chatchila dekamtzi shmeini, obviously doesn't hold L'chatchila, you're supposed to bring it up with Shomei Tzim. So Reb Eliezer would also agree, you only want to have fat Kohanim. Now what's very interesting is that the Rambam does not say a word anywhere about fat Kohanim, and I bet you suspected that all on your own, right? Isn't that funny? That you can always know. which is basically, oh, come off it. Why? But where would the Rambam get oh, come off it from? You can't just throw out halacha, right? So as we're going to see, the drasha of Rav Papa, where Rav Papa learned, we had before, ela kedekamtze inchi. The Rambam, apparently, this is how the Nisei Kelim of the Rambam understand, that the kedekamtze inchi means that whatever people normally would want, including the comments, is including the comments. What's the difference? We could see it from the inside, unseen from the inside. So because of that, the Rambam says, okay, so whatever your machshava is when you're doing the kmitza, that's part of the kmitza. And in the end, we're docha this whole discussion. Okay, so boy Rav Pop, beina beinaim shemelo chofnav ma. What about when you're doing chafina? Do we have the same problem by chafina or not? Understand, what's the question? I mean, we raised this issue before. Do we learn out melochofnav from melokumtso or not, right? I mean, this is exactly the same issue because it's both derived from exactly the same pasuk. Bekumtso, it doesn't say anywhere bechofnav. So what bimkumtso, if you're going to be learning it out from the comments with the gzera shava, it is we learn out both things. Shelo yase klila comments, shelo yase klila chafina. If you hold of the Gzera Shava. Bikum Tso would mean only those things that are inside the comets and not between your fingers. If you're learning it out as a Gzera Shava, then it would be the same thing for the Meloch of Nai. So, Hainohach, it's the same question we had on Amud Aleph. No, it's not. Rav Papa is asking like this. Forget about the Gzera Shava, okay? The Pashtus is that when it says Meloch of Nav, he should lakach. The question is, how do we understand it? Because the pasuk basically has two parts, and it isn't clear what we're talking about. V'lakach melo amachata kachalei esh me'ala mizbeach melifnei Hashem melo chofnav. Now, what does that mean? Is melo chofnav another object to the verb of v'lakach, or is it an object only of the effect of the lakicha, not the act of the lakicha? So if, meaning that you're going to be holding it, that's the question. So how do I read the pasuk? Because I can read it, v'lakach melo machtagach le'esh, umlo chofnav ketore daka vehevi. So in other words, the vehevi is what's necessary for the melo chofnav, but not the act of lakicha. Or is this actually, there are two objects to the verb of lakicha? That's the question. So do we say melochof nav vehevi? That's what we need. And that we have. Va'ika. We have that. Even if something is stuck between his fingers, that's melochof nav vehevi. Or do we need velakach melochof nav, which would mean that your intent has to be to have bedafka those parts, and that means only which you want to have initially and that you don't have. Va'aleka. That's the question that Rav Papa is saying, irregardless of the Gezer Shava of Melochof Nav. Beautiful question of how to read the pasuk. Teku. Omer Rav Papa. Now here is the part of Rav Papa that the Taina that the Rambam is semicha. Omer Rav Papa. Pshitali, that the words Melochum Tso are just meant to be understood as normal comments. It means kidekamtse inchi. It's the way that people usually view their handfuls. Don't start getting technically on me. How do we technically define a handful? Drop it. So that's what I hold the point is the melochum tso. That's for sure. My question is, what is the breadth of the range of melochum tso? I understand it could also refer to the way in which it's done. Now, I mean, they're idiosyncratic ways of doing things, right? I mean, so you talk about, you know, generally speaking, so people will basically scoop up something. You hold your palm with the side of a finger, of your little finger. You go in and it's the easiest way. You move your hand upside down, close your fingers on it, and take it out, right? And that's just the way most people will scoop. But, I mean, suppose you don't do it that way. Suppose you scoop with Roshe Etzbaotav, Maho. So what you do is you put your hand down on the flower, and now you use the finger to pull it up to your palm. You don't scoop down. Is that called a scooping or not? milamata lamalamau. What about if you scoop from down to up? Rashi understands this to mean you put your back of your hand on the flower, and then you put your fingers in such a way that you get the flower up until there's enough to close your hand on. That's a weird, idiosyncratic way to do kmitza. But when we say the way people do it, does that allow this broad range or not? What about if you scoop it up min hatzdadim? So over here, you didn't even slide your fingers into it. What you did is you put your hand down on the flower, and now you move your hand back and forth until the flower pops into your, now you have enough to close your hand on. This guy really wants to test the envelope over here, right? So is that called a kosher kometz or not? Teku. No info on that, and therefore we don't do it that way. Amar of Pap. Pshitali, it's also pasha to me that when it says melo chofnav, it means normally the way people would do that. My question is, again, what is the range of that behavior? So, Boy Rav Papa, chafan barashe etzbotav. Suppose he did the chafina with his fingertips. And normally you would put your hands down. Gavi, you've turned into a mouse. You put your the side of your hands down, and you then get milochofnav. But how about if you did the tips of your fingers? Or the same thing, you did it milamata lamala. Or you did it minatzad by rubbing it and getting it all in. So, or what about if you scooped up two hands separately and then you brought your two hands together afterwards? Is that called milochofnav? Teku. I don't know about that either. And we'll get into more questions that Rav Papa wants to know about the ranges of behavior and other elements of the Asiya Bezrat Hashem after Shabbos. Meanwhile, I will wish you all a Shabbos of Bisurot Tovot, happiness, much shared learning, and Yeshua Hashem, because Hoshia Samecho Borech Esmecho Letzecha Ureim V'Naseim Ad Olam. If Rashi would have ever had an idea of how much that UN is going to go after Klal Yisrael. Ganovim atem, ratzchonim atem. I mean, it's like beyond belief. I mean, he would have made a much bigger point of that opening Rashi on Rabbi Yitzchak, because it's mamish, it's absolutely inconceivable the extent at which the Sina of Yisrael, whoa, it's such a gilui of like how deep this idea of Koch Maisa V'Gidliyamo. It's mamash a chizuk to see that it's meant at such literal levels. You know, you think Rav Papa's a bayi about kmitza. I mean, they figure out any possible way to do their type of sina, minatzad, korvam zelazah, every possible way. They've got it all worked out. Stunning. Okay, we should be zocha to see the resolution of these issues as well. No more tekus.